Begin the current daf, Masechtas Becharis daf Yudalad. Begin on the top of the Amud, where we continue with the next Mishnah on the theme, related theme of the topic of this parak regarding the laws of the Bechay Behemet Tahira, of the firstborn of a kosher animal. Our Mishnah discusses a topic that relates to this laws of Bechay. Says the Mishnah as follows, Kala Kadishim Shekadim Mum Kavu Electation. Any carbon, any sanctified item, that its blemish was permanent before it was sanctified. Meaning, he had an animal that had a permanent blemish, which therefore cannot be brought as a carbon. He sanctifies it, that it should be sold, and that from its monies, those monies will be used to buy an animal that will be brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach. And then, v'niftu, so it's sanctified. Then it was redeemed. So says the Mishnah, the following halachas apply to this animal. First of all, chayavim bebechayra, which relates back to the topic of our parak, there's an obligation now, after it's redeemed, if this animal goes and gives birth to its firstborn child, it's like a regular chulna, that's what we're going to be describing, that actually this animal really, on some level, has only like a monetary sanctity, because it was already pre-blemished before it was sanctified, so it never was going to have a physical sanctity to be brought as a carbon. So it's like Kedush is done, so now that it's redeemed, so it's like a regular chulna animal, where it's, yeah, it's firstborn, that's born, is going to have the obligation of the laws of Bechayr. Moreover, ubimatanis. There's also going to be the obligation when one slaughters this animal, like a regular chulin animal, to give this roi l'chayim nekeva, which are the kahanic gifts, to give it to the kain. And so to v'yotzen l'chulin, that when it's redeemed, it goes totally out to be like an unconsecrated animal, ligazes, v'liyavid, the animal's wool could be shorn, and it could be worked like a regular chulin animal. Unlike regular psuli hamakdashin, like things that were kachim that were redeemed, because, like we're saying, here, even from the beginning, it never had a stringent sanctity that took effect on this animal because it was already pre-blemished. And so to vladin v'chalav and mutter, the children that come out of it, the milk that comes out of it, all those things are going to be permitted. As the Mishnah says, these halachas that we spoke about, first one being the topic of our parak of Bechayra, is la'achar pidyanin, is talking about that this pre-blemished animal that was sanctified, after it was redeemed, all these halachas apply to it. Now, moreover, regarding before it's redeemed, even before it's redeemed, so it's like a kachim, and if someone slaughters it out of the azara, which generally if someone slaughters a carbon outside the azara, then there's a penalty. If he slaughters it outside, he's going to be exempt. Now, the truth is, even if it was just a small blemish, which like what's called dukin shaba'ayin, the cataract in the eye, which generally by regular kachim, if someone would slaughter that animal, although generally if it has a blemish, so it's not valid inside, so it's not chayv on the outside, but small blemishes like cataracts in the eye, the halacha actually is that if someone slaughters it outside, he would be chayv, because after the fact it would be valid if it was put on top of the mizbeach. That's what our Mishnah is saying, that no, even in such a case, we're going to be exempt over here, because like we said, it never really had such a strong sanctity taking effect in the first place, so therefore it's not like even like has kedusha saguf to have the liability of shchita b'chutz. And also the inosin tamura, as the Gemara will explain the source for that, it doesn't have that strong sanctity to go ahead and make a temura, which is if someone says, hey, I want to swap the sanctity of this carbon onto another animal, that other animal now additionally also has that sanctity, that doesn't apply to these animals that were pre-blemished. Now, moreover, continues the Mishnah, v'meisu, and if these animals died before they were redeemed, yipadu, you could even redeem it after it's dead. What are you going to do with a dead animal? To feed it to the dogs. Where, first of all, as we said, because it never really had this severe sanctity. And additionally, another chiddush that the Mishnah is teaching us is that it's less than regular kachim, which the halacha is, you're not allowed to redeem it unless it's alive, because the pasuk says in Mirkach of Zayin that behemet abeima, and then it says veherech hakayin, which is what's called hamad v'aracha. It has to be able to stand up and then be evaluated by the kain, and when he's evaluating, he has to be standing, which if it's dead, it's obviously not standing. That's by generally the karbanas. He was saying that this data doesn't apply over here, and you can even redeem it once it's dead. Now, however, additionally relating to the topic of our parag, says the Mishnah, but there's two exceptions. Chutz min ha-bachar u-min ha-maiser. Except for the law for the firstborn animal and the tenth animal that was tithed, where even though they're blemished, they actually do have, so they're pre-blemished, they do have the what's called the severe kedusha, the severe sanctity like of kedushas aguf. Because by Bechayr, by the firstborn animal, what sanctifies it is if it's the first one to come out of the womb, even if it's blemished. And so too, by Meiser, the Pasuk says, the tenth animal that comes out, lo yavaka bein tev l'ra. You shouldn't differentiate if it's good or bad, which toiv means it's tam unblemished, and ra bad means that it's blemished, which sounds like that either way it's going to be sanctified. So those two are going to be exceptions to the rules we just said, that they will have like Kedushas Haguf, and therefore they're going to be actually like the second half of our Mishnah, which is V'chol Shekodem Hekdeshin Es Mumon. In contrast to the Reisha, let's say you have animals that were sanctified before they developed a blemish. Or even if they had a blemish, but it was what's called a passing blemish, only temporary, that was before it was sanctified. So that's like it's non-existent, because it's not a permanent blemish, and therefore the sanctity takes effect in a severe way, meaning as a physical sanctity. And it's only only subsequently, after it was sanctified, did it develop a permanent blemish. So regarding these cases, v'niftu, if it's redeemed, again, the first halacha talking about the topic of our parak, is peturin min habachera. In contrast to the reisha, the Gemara is going to explain that here it's going to be exempt from the laws of the firstborn, u'min ha-matanis, and also from the count of gifts, because that's by chulin, not by kachim. And this is considered kachim. They niyotzen l'chulin, and moreover, it doesn't go out to be totally unconsecrated, even after it's redeemed, ligazes v'liyavet, to be able to have the wool shorn or to do work with it, because it's still going to be forbidden begiza avoid, as the Gemara is going to explain, like regular kachim, even after it's redeemed. And vladin v'chel ban aser, the children that come out of it, and its milk, is prohibited. As the Gemara is going to explain, we're talking about that it became impregnated before it was redeemed, and it gave birth after it was redeemed. Now, and that's what the Mishnah says, and all these things that we're talking about are even la'achar pidyan, even after they're redeemed, it's still all these things are going to be prohibited or exempted, like the element of Kedushas HaGuf, even after it's redeemed. Now, but before it's redeemed, v'hasheichtun b'chutz, if someone slaughters these animals before it's redeemed out of the Azara, so Chayiv is going to be liable for kars. And the Gemara is going to explain, as we alluded to this before, we're talking about specifically what's called Dukan Sheba'ayin, cataracts in the eyes of the animal, where it is valid after the fact, according to Rebbe Akiva, on the Mizbech, who he says, if it was put on the Mizbech, you wouldn't take it down. Because in contrast, other blemishes, the Gemara says elsewhere that it's only what's fit to be brought in the El Moed. Are you liable if you do it outside? If not, then you're not liable outside. So if we're talking about blemishes, how could you be chayv shechit b'chutz? We're talking about specifically like a small blemish, like a dukat shebe'ayin, which would be valid after the fact inside. Therefore, one is liable for doing the shechit b'chutz on the outside. And here, in contrast to the ratio also of eisen temura, these animals are considered like to have physical sanctity, and therefore it would make a temura. And v'mesu yikaveiru, here the halacha is that once the animal dies before it's redeemed, you have to bury it, and you can't then subsequently redeem it, because like we said before, something that's kedushas haguf has to have what's called hamad v'aracha, has to stand and then be evaluated, and since it's dead, you can't have hamad v'aracha, and therefore you wouldn't be able to redeem it anymore, you would have to bury it. Now, the Gemara makes an inference regarding the opening halachas of our Mishnah. So, time of the niftu. So the first halacha was, well, again related to the topic of our parak, we said that if it's a pre-blemished animal, so then when it's redeemed, so it's going to be chayav and bebechayra u'matanis. So then it's like a regular chulin animal, it's going to be obligated in its firstborn child to give to the kain and matnas kuna of Zerayah l'chayim l'keva. So says the Gemara, time of the niftu. Sounds like the reason is because they're redeemed. But halei niftu, but if it wasn't redeemed, then peturin min bechayra min matanis. Before the redemption, if it has a child, its firstborn would be exempt from the laws of Bechor, and if you slaughter the animal, it would be exempt from giving the matnas kahuna. Why? Says the Gemara, because Kesava, the Tana holds, Kedushas damim matcha min ha-Bechor, min ha-Matanas. Even the monetary sanctity, which we're saying that since it's pre-blemished, these animals never had a physical sanctity, it still would reject from the laws of Bechor and of Matanas, just like when it has physical sanctity, which later in the Gemara is going to explain how do we even know physical sanctity is excluded from Bechor and Matanas. The Gemara is going out from Sukkim that it's exempt from it, but we're saying, so too Kedushas Damim, before it's redeemed, also has that same halacha that it's not going to have the laws of Bechor and Matanas. Now, additionally, the Mishnah continued and said, also the Yoytzen L'chulun V'chulu, that these pre-blemished animals, once they're redeemed, that's okay, so it goes out to be considered chulun, and you could even be geizes, the wool, you could do avoid with it. Now again, the Gemara makes the same inference. Time of the niftu. The reason why you're allowed to do these things to the animal is because it was redeemed. Halay niftu, but if it wasn't redeemed, sasir begizav avayda, then it would still be considered forbidden to do work with it or to shear its wool, because it's pre-redemption. Yeah, it's only kedushas damim, but it's still forbidden. Says Gemara, Mesayel, Rebbe Eliezer, that supports Rebbe Eliezer. Kadama that he says, Kachid Bedekabayas, which is essentially the same thing as these animals, where these were animals that were sanctified for the temple upkeep, where it was just given for the monetary financial purposes that they could use whatever for commercial purposes they want to do with it. Asurin Begizav Aleda, says Rabbi Elazar, it's still forbidden to go ahead and shear the wool and do work with it. Now, these animals are essentially like Kachid Bedekabayas, because, like we said, since they're pre-blemished, they themselves were not sanctified for anything but its monetary value. So therefore, that seems to support Rabbi Elazar. So I mean, they said, like, no, can't support Rabbi Elazar from our Mishnah. Because the case of our Mishnah is Kedusha's Damim L'Mizbeachu. It is monetary sanctity, but monetary sanctity for the utility of the altar of the Mizbeach. And that's what it was initially sanctified for, that its money's proceeds should be brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach. So we could say, maybe only over there did we say pre-redemption that it's going to be Asa Begizva Voida, because the Michlefa Bekadushas Aguflu Mizbeach, because these are animals, and their proceeds are going to be used as carbonus and Mizbeach. So if we're going to let you share the wool and work with it, we might come to confuse and think that any regular animal that's itself is sanctified as its body for the Mizbeach, that you could also go ahead and do work with it. So Gazim Barabban, so maybe we said there the rabbis made the decree. But classic Kachet Bedek Bayis had nothing to do with the Mizbeach. It's just they could use it for whatever they want to do for the temple upkeep, for the buildings and all other things. There has no relation to the Mizbeach, and therefore maybe they would not have made that gezerah of saying that it's forbidden even before it's redeemed. Of Gizim Avayda, maybe there actually would be permitted, and therefore not a right to Rabbi Yazim. Now the Mishnah continued, additionally regarding these pre-blemished animals after they're redeemed. So he said, Vlad and Vachal ben Mutter, Vachulu, we said that their children, the milk, it's all like from regular chulun animal, it's all going to be permitted. Now, ask the Gemara, Hechidami, what's the case of the children? If it's talking about that, as we said, all these cases are talking about after it's redeemed, that this animal became impregnated and had the children after it's redeemed. Says the Gemara, well, that's an obvious halacha, chulun. We said they're regular unconsecrated animals, of course the children and milk is permitted. Ela rather says the Gemara, no, the chiddush is di'abulif ne'pidyoinen, that, as we said before it's redeemed, it has certain prohibited statuses. And we're talking about, it became impregnated before it's redeemed, but if it's sialad la'acha pidyoinen, but it gave birth after it's redeemed, that's what we're saying, that those children that are born after it's redeemed, it's like a regular, it's regular chulun animal, it's permitted to have utility, even though it's impregnated before it's redeemed. Now, so on that the Gemara says, well, ha, so then the inference is, that the children that were born lefnei pidyoinen, so not only were they impregnated before it was redeemed, but it was also born before it was redeemed, that asiri. That would sound like that they would be forbidden to have benefit if those children themselves are not redeemed. Now, obviously they wouldn't be able to be brought as karbonis themselves because they're a derivative from its mother, which in itself is a rejected sanctity because their mothers were not ever sanctified for the Mizbeach in the first place because they were pre-blemished. But one thing is, but the children themselves, if they were born before the mother was redeemed, that they would have, as we're inferring, sanctity, and they would be forbidden to have benefit. So on that halacha, as we continue with base, so ask the Gemara now, on that case, Niftin Tamimim, those children that were born before the mother was redeemed, so they also have sanctity now. Like we said, that just like the mother before it's redeemed has a sanctity. So you have to redeem it. So the question is, but can you redeem them even in an unblemished state, which generally you cannot. Generally, animals that are karbanis, that are unblemished, cannot be redeemed. They have to go to the Mizbeach. Now, here, again, we said they're not going to the Mizbeach. So the question is, okay, so could they be redeemed even in an unblemished state? Or maybe they cannot be redeemed in an unblemished state because, as we know, the halacha always has to be that unblemished, you can't then use it for any alternate purposes. It's only when it develops a blemish that you can redeem it. So as the Gemara Tashma, that's being derived from the following braisa. The braisa says, Hamatfes bali mumen kavuin legabe Mizbeach v'yodu. Like the case of our Mishnah. Someone goes and he designates a permanently blemished animal for the utilities of the altar, and that animal gives birth. Says the Braisa, Yimachru, so you sell the animal. Ve'ein trichin mum, so it has to be redeemed, but it doesn't need a blemish to be redeemed. Why? She'ein kedusha chal alein, because no sanctity takes effect on them. Why is that? She'lo yehei tafel, so that the secondary, which is the child, shouldn't be chamim and ikar, more severe than the primary, which is the mother where it's deriving its sanctity from, which the mother itself, we said, doesn't have sanctity because it's pre-blemished. It doesn't have a physical sanctity. Yeah, monetary, so the child also has monetary, but monetary, so that doesn't need to have a blemish. It's only by actual karbanis that has to have psulim mikdashin, that has to first become invalidated, develop a blemish, and then be redeemed. So we see from this braisa clearly that they can be redeemed even in an unblemished state. Now, so the Gemara makes the following inference. So taimo, so the reason why you're saying that it doesn't need a blemish is because shelo yehi tafel chamim an ikar. So we said that the secondary shouldn't be more severe than the primary. Because like we said, where is it getting its, whatever sanctity it is, it's coming from something, its parent, that it itself was a blemish. Now, avul, however, let's say it wasn't coming, its sanctity, whatever it is, from a blemished source, from a blemished ikar. What would be the case if, let's say, the thing itself was sanctified for its monetary value? Then it sounds like that then they would not go out to be chulin, to be deconsecrated, without a blemish, because then actually it would have a physical sanctity. So therefore, in the case of hikdash d'achar, if let's say someone sanctifies a male, which is talking about a ram, l'damav, so although that's valid as a carbon, but he sanctifies it for its monies. Meaning he's saying, okay, this animal I'm designating that the hekdesh should sell and buy with its monies a carbon ayla. On that, it sounds like that, in that case, that it itself actually would be kadosh kedush saguf. That actually it would have a physical sanctity and actually would actually bring that animal as a carbon ayla itself. Now, why are we picking specifically a zachar, a male, which is fit to be a carbon ayla, which is even from males, is because most people, when they bring a carbon, there's a carbon ayla, and they bring it where it could be a zachar, so that's, many carbons could only be in the keva, so that's the ones they'll bring the males for the carbon ayla. But one thing is, it sounds like that the only reason why this child, carbon, from this mother that was pre-blemished, that was saying that, oh, why could you be paid to tamim, is because shalei tavucham an ikar, but it sounds like if you didn't have that problem, that even if it only had a monetary sanctity, but it was unblemished, that actually then we would actually say that you wouldn't be able to deconsecrate it without a blemish. That we would say you would have to keep it with a kedusha saguf, even though this case doesn't have. And that's what we're saying, it doesn't have kedusha saguf because it's from a tuffel that's from it can be more chumah than the ikar. But let's say by a regular tumim animal, that you're saying, I don't want it to be a carbon. I'm making it kedusha's dumim. No, the halacha sounds like we would give it kedusha saguf and actually would not be able to deconsecrate unless it actually developed a blemish. Says Gemara Maseil LeRava, that supports Rava, because the Amar Rava, he said Hikdash Zachar L'Damim. If someone sanctifies a male animal, a ram, an animal, for not for a kedushas guf, but rather for monetary sanctity, he says Kadosh kedushas guf. No, it automatically has a physical sanctity, and we go ahead, we bring it itself as a carbon, and we don't say that oh, okay, it's a monetary sanctity, so you could redeem it even in an unblemished state. No, we actually give it kedushas guf. Now the Mishnah continued regarding these halachas of when it's pre-blemished, before it's sanctified. So then we spoke about the halachas of that before it's redeemed. We said, v'asheich de'machutz, if someone slaughters these animals out of the azara, so although generally to take a hektish and slaughter outside is chayiv, so we said, there's no pata, you're exempt, as we said, because it never had a physical sanctity to have the liability of shechit de'machutz. Now, however, Rebbe Loza Masni, he learned this halacha of Hashecha Bechutz, if someone slaughters outside, that's chayiv, then he's going to be liable. Now, as we're going to shortly explain, not the classic halacha of Shechita Bechutz, which you chayiv karis for, rather, as we're going to see, he says that there's going to be liability of malchus, of lashes. Now, why? Because of Mukila, he explains that this, the way he's learning the halacha, that chayiv na pater, of the case of Shechita Bechutz, of slaughtering on the outside, is to a specific type of a case. For example, when he slaughters it, bibamas yachid. Yes, out of the azara, because he's slaughtering on his private altar at a time when private altars are permitted. So what's the liability over here? The liability is because Damar Belaza, like Belaza said, minayin lezevech behema balas mum bibamas yachid. From where do we know if someone slaughters an animal that's blemished, and that's the case we're talking about in the Mishnah, we're talking about it's pre-blemished before it's sanctified. So how do we know that if someone goes ahead and slaughters an animal that's blemished on the private altar, where again, everyone's allowed to make the private altar. For example, we find in Tanakh where Menoyach and Gidoin and Shmuel, they made their private altars, and it's Bishas Het HaBamas. It's a time when private altars are permitted. But he's bringing a blemished animal, which the case we're discussing over here, when we're saying Shechit Bechutz, we mean not because of the classic halacha of Shechit Bechutz out of the Azar. I mean someone doing it outside on his own private altar, but that it says in the Mishnah, the way Rebbe Loza is reading it, Chayiv, Shehu b'loy saseh, because he's violating a negative prohibition. Where do we know this? Shenem, because the pasuk says in the Devarim. Pasuk says, Le'sizbach l'Hashem l'kech asher b'seh, you should not slaughter for Hashem your God an ox or a sheep. Where the pasuk continues, Ashiyir b'aymum, that has a blemish. Now, says Rebbe Lazar, Im eina inin l'bama g'dayil, if this pasuk is not teaching us anything regarding what's called the public altar, like for example, in Noiv and Given, which were times that the public had their public altar and people had their private altars. Now, we don't need a pasuk telling us that this is that pasuk that, oh, that you're not allowed to bring a blemished carbon. Because they said we have another pasuk, give a yikra, that says, averis, a shaver, vergeimer, that where it's blind or if it's broken. The pasuk says, leisa kriva el Hashem. You're not allowed to bring these blemished animals as karbanas. So we already have a different pasuk to say regarding the public bama, which is the mizbeach in the azar. So then, what is this pasuk coming to teach us in Devarim? Ah, says Rabbi Lazar, tenei in lebamas yachad. It's coming to give a prohibition for someone on his own private altar is not allowed to bring a blemished carbon, and that's the halacha of hasheichet bachutz, meaning out of the public one, but in his private altar, that if he brings this blemished animal, he's going to get a liability of lashes for violating this law in the Torah. However, on the source of Rabbi Lazar, which is explaining his halacha of hasheichet bachutz chayiv, the Gemara says, wait, how do you know to infer, okay, it's not talking about Bama Gedele, because we have a different pasuk, must be talking about Bama's Yachad. Says the Gemara, no, Amos say as follows. Imeina in Lekachim, yes, if it's not teaching us the classic halacha regarding regular karbanas, because yes, you have that other pasuk in Vayikra, but Tanei in Lebachar, maybe it's not teaching us regarding, instead of Bama Gedele, Bama Ketana, maybe it's saying, if it's not teaching us regarding the regular halacha of regular kachim of karbanas, maybe it's teaching us, and it has to say it again, that you're not allowed to bring a blemished animal, specifically for the firstborn animal. Why? Sagadai, I mean, you would think to say, Hail v'kadosh kishu bamum, since, as we pointed out in the halacha of Mishnah, that a firstborn becomes sanctified even if it's pre-blemished. And that is going to be, that it's forbidden to shear the wool and do work with it, because like we said, automatically when it's born, it's sanctified, even if it's blemished. So you would think, likarv na mikshu bamum, so you would think that, okay, it is sanctified. Generally, a carbon doesn't become sanctified when it's blemished or becomes it takes it down. But by the Bechar, which is sanctified even if it's blemished, you would maybe think you could even bring it as a carbon. Maybe that's what the Pasuk is teaching, that no, by Bechar also you can't. How do you know it's teaching us regarding Bama Ketan? So Amadi said, no, Bechar behedik sabit. And we have explicit Pasuk for Bechar, as it says in Devarim. It says, Piseich o'iver, if it's limp, or if it has a limp, or if it's blind, loises bechedik, you're not allowed to slaughter it. So we have a clear source for Bechar, so it cannot be teaching us for Bechar. But the Gemara continues as asking, okay, fine, the Amos say, Yemenin lekachim, if it's not teaching us regarding regular karbanis, Tenei in lemaiser. Maybe it's teaching us regarding the laws of Maiser Behema, but again, maybe it's still talking about Bama Gedaila and doesn't tell us, like Rabbi Lazar wants to say, for the liability of a private altar. Now, why would we need a special pasuk for Maiser Behema that you can't bring if it's blemished? Because the Salkadai de Chamina, you would think to say, look, Hail v'kadosh b'mumai, since similar to Bechar, where it becomes sanctified even in the blemished state. The Chesed, the Pasuk says of a Yikra, it says, le'yavaka bein tev l'ra. The tenth animal that comes out, that's the one that's sanctified. You should not differentiate between good or bad. Meaning, don't inspect to see, oh, wait a second, is it unblemished? Is it blemished? Well, whichever is like the Asiri, like the Pasuk says, yekadosh, that's the one that's going to be sanctified. Which the Gersa takes out the next words of bein ra. So you would think, nikrivnami b'mumay, so it's sanctified even blemished, so maybe it actually, unlike regular kachim, so maybe it actually be sacrificed even in the blemished state. Kamash m'landulay, maybe that's what the other pasuk come to say, that no, even maiser behema cannot be brought. So I mean, they said, no, maiser nami gamar havara havar me'bachar, we already have a source for maiser behema. We were learning xerishav from the word havara from bachar. Just like by Bechar, like we said, if it's blemished, you don't bring it. So also Maiser Behema, if it's blemished, you don't bring it. So rather, it must be what the Pasuk is coming to teach us is regarding the Bamas Yachad, the private altar, like Rabbi Lazar said. But the Gemara continues asking. No, Amos say, Tinei in le Temuras Kaddishim. Maybe it has to tell us specifically regarding when you make a Temura, which you're trying to swap the sanctity of the carbon to another animal, though that's coming to say that Temura cannot be brought as a blemished animal. Why? Similar Svara. The Sagadai, I mean, you would think to say, a tamura, the other animal that you're trying to swap it onto, becomes sanctified even if it's a blemished animal. They're still like it says the patsig meyikra, and all these things, they're all the exception to the rule, which generally if it's pre-blemished doesn't have physical sanctity. These animals get the physical sanctity even if they're pre-blemished. They're still like it says the patsig meyikra. It says lo yach lefenu v'lo yomer oisle begemer. The source in the Torah says you're not allowed to try to swap, and I'll try to switch it, which is the prohibition of actually making a tamura. Begemer etc. The patsig then says, Toiv bira, you can't switch a good one with a bad one, which means to say, with a blemished one. No, but it says, im harmer yamer, but if you did switch, then it is switched, and yekaydish, it's going to be sanctified, which tells us that even the animal you're trying to switch it onto is blemished, it will be sanctified as a blemished animal. So maybe kareivanami kishibalas mum, so maybe I think, okay, you see, it's sanctified, it's not like a regular kachim, which it's not sanctified, therefore you can't bring it as a carbon. Maybe he'd be able to bring it as a carbon. Kamash malandalai, maybe that's what the other pasuk is saying, that no, the tamura, even though it's sanctified, you can't bring it as a carbon. Says the Gemara, no, because Amakra, the Pasuk says over there, Vahayahu Usmurasi. So it says when you're going to do the Temura, you actually didn't gain anything. You actually now, it and its swap, both now are sanctified. But one thing is that Makesh Temurasi Loi, we see the Pasuk is equating the Temura to the original carbon. Mahu Bamum Loi, just like the original carbon, if it's a blemish, cannot be brought of Temurasi Bamum Loi. So also the swap also cannot be brought as a blemish, and therefore you don't need it as a source, and therefore it must be telling us Bamas Yachad. But the Gemara has still another question. Maskevler Abzeir. He says, wait, Eima, maybe say, Tinei Inin Levlad is Kachem. Again, a similar idea. Maybe say it's applying to the children that come out of Karbanis. Meaning, if the child is blemished, where it was born blemished from a regular carbon that is unblemished. Where, again, the Sagadai, I mean, you would think to say, Hail Vekadoshin Geshein Bali Mumin Agavimon, since they become sanctified, even if they're in the blemished state, because they're a derivative of the mother, and therefore they have automatic sanctity. So Geshein Bali Mumin Amikarvis, I would think, even if they're blemished, you could bring it as a carbon. Maybe that's what other Pasuk is Kamash Malandulai telling us that you can't. So Rabbi says, no. Kvar Pasket Tanabe Bishmol. The Braisa Bishiva Bishmol already told us from a different Pasuk that you can't, and therefore, again, you wouldn't need the Pasuk for this. Because the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, he says, the Pasuk in Devarim says that Raka the Shechar Sheyulucha Unadirecha. However, regarding the sanctified animals that you have for you and for those that you're bringing as a vow, so the Pasuk tells us in Devarim Yud Beis, that okay, Tiso Vasa Lamakam Hashiv Hashem, you have to go ahead and bring it to the place which Hashem chose, you have to bring it as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. So what do these words in this Pasuk mean? So the Braisa expounds. When it says Raka Deshecha, however, those of your sanctified things, Eloha Temuris, that refers actually to the Temura of a carbon. That's what's coming to say that you have to sacrifice on Mizbeach. Because if one would think it's talking about regular carbonas, which are called Kadeshecha, then why would I need the Pasuk to say you have to bring up to Yerushalayim? We have many Pesukim that says Hisham Alecha Pentalo Lesecha, that may you might not bring it to the Mizbeach. We already know that. This Pasuk must be referring to something else, which is referring to the Temuris. When the Ketina says Ashiyu Lecha, that will be for you, Elu Havladis, that refers to the children of the Kachem. Unadirecha, and then when it says regarding your vows, what's that teaching? Hekish and Hakas of the Neder, the Pasuk is equating them, including the Vlad, which we're talking about, to the Neder, to the vowed carbon. Ma Neder Bamumloy, just like a vowed carbon, you cannot bring if it's blemished. Afhani Name Bamumloy, also all these, including the Vladis, also if it's blemished, cannot be brought. So again, therefore, we have reaffirmed Reb Elazar's opinion. So when you have the pasuk that says Lei Sizbachi, not allowed to go ahead and slaughter a blemished animal, we already know that from a different pasuk. What's that coming to say? It's coming to include a Bamas Yacha, and that's what he's saying when it says Sheikha Bechutz Chayiv, not Pat, like we have in the Mishnah, is regarding the liability of bringing a blemished animal even on a private altar. Now the Mishnah continued in the Reisha that says that again that the pre-blemished animal is before it's redeemed, that the ain loisin temura, that however it still cannot, you can't make a temura with it, even though it's pre-redemption. So it's about my time, what's the reason? It still has sanctity, like we said, it wasn't redeemed yet. So it says because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in the Yikra, where it says that loyach lefenu, volo yomer, v'goymer, again, like we said, you can't go ahead and switch it, you can't try to change it, which is the sanctity, and the Pasuk says, what can't you do that? You can't do toiv bera, a good animal with a bad one, or a bad one with a good one. Now it says vim hamer, but if you did switch then yomer, then it is switched, then it has halach of tomorrow. But one thing says the Gemara is, hashta rabba toiv amet loy, the Pasuk is telling us that you can't take a bad one and switch it to a good one, which is telling you that you can't bring a regular chulin animal that's unblemished to this carbon that is already blemished and say that this should be the tumor of this one. So, toiv berami bayit, so does the Pasuk have to say that you can't take a good animal and deconsecrate it, try to swap it onto a bad animal? Of course, if we're saying that even a bad kachem, a blemished kachem, you can't switch it onto a good unblemished animal, for sure, an unblemished kachem, you can't do onto a bad one. So why does the Pasuk first say Tev Barah? So Ella rather says the Gemara, the reason why the Pasuk says Tev Barah is to be a qualifier to say that on some level, you need Tev first. It has to be Tev Me'ikarai. When you went and you sanctified this animal, it's that it was initially that it was unblemished. Then Isa Temura. Then you could go ahead, even after it develops a blemish, like the Pasuk says, Oy Rabba Toiv, that the halach of Temura will apply, even if you're taking a bad one for a good one. But that sounds like that, yeah, the bad one of Kodesh to switch to the good one of Chulin, because then Yeah, when you have a bad one that was originally, however, good, that was Tev Mekar, then it's going to go ahead to make a Temura where either Bara, or even if it's Ra now, with a Tev of Chulin. But Ra Mekar, in there's a Temura. But that's what the Pasuk, why it says Tev Bara. Of course we know Tev Bara. No, it's to say that it had to have been at least initially Tev, and then now you can't do it Bara, or even that now it's Ra, you can't do it with a Chulin of Tev. But if it was Ra Mekar, if it was initially, if it was pre-blemished, then even though it wasn't even redeemed yet, you can't go ahead. It doesn't have the halachas of Temura do not apply to it. Additionally, the Mishnah finished on the Reisha and said, "Imesu yipadu." So if these animals died, again pre-redemption, you go ahead and you can redeem it. So Amar Yehuda Merav, he qualifies this teaching of the Mishnah. He says, "Zu divrei Reb Shimon." This opinion in our Mishnah that even though it's dead, you can redeem it is the opinion of Reb Shimon. Why? Because the Amar he says in the last paragraph of Masechtas Temura Dav Lamed Beis Amud Aleph that Kachim is Beach Hayu B'Chalal Hamadav Aracha. We were speaking about this concept that it says in the pasuk that when you want to redeem Kachim, it has to be able to stand and then be evaluated by the Kohen, and then you could redeem it. He says that halacha was only said regarding Kachim that were sanctified for the altar, for the Mizbeach, to be sacrificed in the Mizbeach. But Kachim Bet Gabayis, but things that only have monetary sanctity, like these cases that are pre-blemished, then that they would not part of the halacha having to stand and be evaluated. So even though it's dead, yeah, you can still redeem it. That's not like learning the Mishnah Masechtas Temura. Shimon, I mean, he says, in contrast to the Tanna Kamma, where he disagrees with them, he says, Kachet Bedek Abayis, regarding something that was only sanctified for the temple upkeep, in Mesu, if the animal dies, you probably can still be redeemed. Moreover, Major Shimon also agrees, Bebamum Mi'ikarai, that although he agrees, that although he says that by kachim mizbeach that it needs hamad v'racha, but it like nahalocha of our Mishnah, if it was pre-blemished, that shenifta that it can be redeemed. My time, what's the reason? Because the amakra, the pasuk says in this pasuk where it says v'herech hakayin that the kohen evaluates after it says that you stand up the animal, it says v'herech hakayin oisa, he evaluates it. That's an exclusionary terminology. Oisa lemuuti balmum meikara, that when it says it is coming to exclude if it was already a pre-blemished animal. So, from the fact that Reb Shimon says that Kachim Bedek Abayis were not included, because he says the Pasuk was talking about Kachim Mizbeach, and moreover, we say that he agrees that similar halachas that when it's pre-blemished, that it can be redeemed, even though that's Kachim Mizbeach, but since we're saying that if you sanctify it with the altar, it's only when you sanctify it in an unblemished state, but since he was pre-blemished, so therefore he says it's going to be the same thing, and then it doesn't need to have Hamad V'Racham. Now, how do we know that the Tana of Mishnah holds that Kachim Mizbeach were included in Hamad V'Racha, that you need to have that it should be alive at the time of redemption? Whereas the Pasuk says, V'hemeres ha-be'emol lefnei ha-koin, and then it says, V'herech oisa. It's from the Sefer of our Mishnah, which is going to be important later on in the Gemara, because the Sefer says, when the sanctity was before it was blemished, then we said if it dies, then you have to bury it. Where then we see that, yeah, when you sanctify it, it's going to be, even if it later develops a blemish, but from the fact that you see that when it has Kachim Mizbeach, Kedushas Agov, that then, if it dies, you have to bury it, obviously, because you need Hamad Baruch. So it seems like, at the time of our Mishnah, is Reb Shimon, where, yeah, like the Sefer says, Kachim Mizbeach needs Hamad Baruch, but Kachim Bedek Abayis, or something that's just like Kachim Bedek Abayis, if it's pre-blemish, which only has monetary sanctity, that it doesn't need Hamad Baruch, if it dies, you can redeem it. Now, however, Av Chachamim, the sages disagree with Reb Shimon, and that's why Rav is saying the halacha is only Reb Shimon, because they hold Imesu Yikaveru. Actually, regarding this case of our Mishnah of the Reisha, they hold if it dies, you have to bury it. Now, that is the Gemara, Ma Chacham. Who are these sages that we're quoting that disagree with Reb Shimon? Because they're obviously not the Rabbanim, the Tanna Kamma, who disagrees with Reb Shimon in that Mishnah we quoted from Masechtas Temura. Because actually, there we say that everyone holds that when it's a pre-blemished animal, and that's why we're saying Maid Reb Shimon, that it actually does not have the obligation of Hamad V'Racha. So who are we saying that, oh, the sages disagree and say it has to be buried? Why? It was pre-blemished. Everyone agrees pre-blemished that it has no obligation of Hamad V'Racha. Says the Gemara, it's Tanan Be Levi. It's the Braisa, it's the Tanah of the Yeshiva of Levi. Because the Tan Be Levi was told in the Braisa of Yeshiva of Levi that Hakol Hoyu Bechlal Hamad V'Racha. Everyone was included, every carbon, every kachin was included in this obligation of standing when it's being evaluated to be redeemed. Even in a pre-blemished animal. So that's the Chum who disagreed. The Allah of a Mishnah, hold it, if it dies, you have to bury it. And the Chin Tan Be Levi Masnita, so too the Tanah of the Yeshiva of Levi taught us in his braces that Afil Chaya, even a wild animal who's definitely not fit to be brought on the Mizbeach, and a Afil Oif, even types of birds that are not valid, still you have to go ahead and you have to have a Hamad V'Racha. But that is the Gemara, but we said it says it, which is exclusionary terminology, but he's saying everything needs Amad Baracha. So it's Gemara, you're right. That word in the Pasuk is definitely difficult according to him, because what are we excluding from Amad Baracha? He holds everything that was sanctified, that when you want to deconsecrate, has to be able to be standing and be evaluated, that, and if it's dead, you can't, you have to bury it. But then the Gemara goes back and says, wait, so Aval Rabban, the Pligaler of Reb Shimon, so the Rabban and the Tanakama who disagree with Reb Shimon in Masechtas Temura, so Mai, what are you going to say, as we just referred to before, Hachanami, that they also, they would hold the Meisu Padu, that they would agree, unlike the Tanbei Levi, that if it dies, that it could be redeemed, because like you said, that they agree that when it's pre-blemished, that it doesn't need Hamad of Aracha. So then, says the Gemara Yehachi, if that's the case, as we continue to have a Tezvav Man Aleph, so why does Rav say when he says, oh, who's the Tanav of Mishnah? It's Reb Shimon. But Zudivir Reb Shimon Umachlu Kase Mibayalei. It should have said, this is the opinion of Reb Shimon and his dispute is in Temura, because they also agree to this halacha of Balmu Meikara, that it may see Yipadu. So why are we saying it's just Reb Shimon? So Amr, they said, oh, because Rav, who he doesn't say the halacha of our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, and he actually only says like Reb Shimon, he holds Reb Shimon ben Lakish. The Amma that he says, L'Rabbanan, that actually the Rabbanan in that Mishnah Masechtas Temura, that only Kadje Bedegabai Yisrael Bechal Amad Varacha, actually the inverse of Reb Shimon, only animals that were sanctified for the temple upkeep, they're the ones that actually need to be standing and not dead when they're evaluated to be redeemed. But actually Kadje Mizbech, L'Hoye Bechal Amad Varacha. And whereas if they were sanctified for the Mizbech, they actually don't need to be able to be standing to be redeemed. And therefore, Valemi took Mamasin the Rabbanan. Therefore, for a different reason, we couldn't say the Mishnah is like the Rabbanan to say that the Reish is like them, although they agreed to that halacha of when it's pre-blemished, because the Tani Sefer. Because we learned in the Sefer, the Mishnah, the other case that says, oh, if they're not pre-blemished, if they have a, if they're sanctified, and then later on they develop a blemish, we said, Vemesu, they die before they're redeemed, that Yikaveru, that they have to be buried. Obviously, it has to be buried, the Tanav Mishnah holds, that Kachem is Beyach, which that's what it is, it had a physical sanctity because it was sanctified before the double blemish, needs Hamad Avaracha. And therefore, if it dies and then it can't stand, you have to be buried. Well, that's not like Rabbanan, if you hold a Rish Lakish and Rav held a Rish Lakish. So that has to get more. Wait a second. How do you know that the Halacha the Sefer that says that, oh, if they die, then they have to be buried, Mishum Debay Hamad Avaracha, who is because it has to be standing and evaluated, and that's why Rav couldn't say it's like Rabbanan, because he holds like Rish Lakish, that holding the Rabbanan doesn't apply to Kachem Mizbeach of Hamad Avaracha, and here you see Kachem Mizbeach is requiring Hamad Avaracha. No, Dima, maybe it's for a different reason, and therefore it could even be like Rabbanan. Mishum Dein Poydin Sa Kachem Lachin Laklavmu, a different problem. When it's dead, not that you can't do Hamad Avaracha, maybe you could do Hamad Avaracha, but it's because you cannot redeem a carbon to go ahead and feed it to the dogs. What are you doing with this? What are you redeeming it for? What are you going to use it for? It's dead. It's in the veil. You can't eat it. So you're going to feed it to the dogs? That's not appropriate. Maybe that's the reason it has to be buried. So Amr, they said, well, if that would be the reason of the Mishnah, that the reason why you have to bury it is because you can't go ahead and then take a carbon to feed it to the dogs, then this we should have said a different case. We should have said, imnastu treifa yikaveru. If it developed a mortal defect already, you have to bury it. Which that would sound like, even though it could have a mother aracha, because it's a mortal defect, it's still walking and going around, and then you would say, even there you have to bury it, because what are you going to do with this? What are you redeeming it for? You can't eat it, it's not kosher, even though it's not dead yet, you would be for the dogs. For the fact that it said specifically the case of that if it died, obviously, it's not because of the dogs, because then you would have said even treva. It's obviously because if it's dead, you can't do Hamad Varacha, and therefore it's clearly not like Rabban. Ovi once says the Gemara to answer the question that we had asked is actually Lo'ilam Rav Kreb Yechanan Sfirle. Actually, we could say that Rav held the Kreb Yechanan, who he says, according to Rabbanan, that actually, as we had alluded to earlier, that they hold, whether it's Kachem Mizbech, whether it's Kachem Betekabayas, everything was included in the Halacha of Hamad Varacha. And yeah, the Sefer of the Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, because, yeah, they do need Hamad Avaracha for Kachem Mizbech, and therefore it makes sense why you have to bury it. And actually, the Reish of the Mishnah would also be like them. That actually, like we said, because when it's pre-blemished, then everyone agrees. So then we're back to the question. So why do Rav say it's only Reb Shimon? If you see the whole Mishnah could be like Rabbanan too. V'tni, and amend what Rav said was Zudav Reb Shimon, Machlu Kasa. He wasn't saying just a Reb Shimon. He was saying it's Reb Shimon in dispute, and Reb Shimon's name is said over there. So according to Reb Shimon, again, in exclusion of Tan Bei Levi. But you're right, it's not just Reb Shimon, it's Reb Shimon Machlu Kasa, and again, therefore, it's like all opinions over there, where, as we said, he's like Reb Yechanan, would hold, yeah, Kach Mizbeach, Yikaveiru, even like Rabbanan, and therefore, the Mishnah is like both opinions.